Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be here today, isn't it? Aren't you excited about the Lord and all He's doing in your life? What a great year 2025 has been, and we're at the precipice of 2026. What a great time to start over, amen, if you need to. Or just build on what God has done in 2025. It's a wonderful time of year. And you guys are all really energetic because you haven't been feeding the flesh all month and you haven't been eating too much and laying around and doing nothing. You've been busy about the Father's business, right? Wow. Any Jesus lovers in here today? All right, good. There's a few of you. I want to know, have you ever read a scripture that sort of rubbed you the wrong way? I mean, you believe it's true and all, but it just hits you in a way that sort of goes against what you thought you believed. A scripture that did that to me was Proverbs 16:9, and it says just simply this: a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And at first glance, it seems to say our planning is pointless, that we should simply let go and let God. How many have ever heard that? Let go and let God. And you're probably all a lot smarter than I am. I might never have these, you might never have these kinds of thoughts, but for me, this is one of those transforming scriptures where there's more than meets the eye. More to it than what you see at first glance. Nobody caught that, did they? I said Transformers, more than meets the eye, and nobody said a word. I mean, come on. Wake up, church! But there's more to it than when we first see it. And when I first read this verse, I have to admit, it bothered me. I was raised by wonderful parents who taught me to set goals and dream big. And they would even have us kids cut out pictures and representing what we wanted to accomplish. We'd hang those things in the fridge. And my parents would even encourage us to put a date on those goals, those dreams, those desires, just to push us a little bit to follow through on seeing them to fruition. I was taught work ethic, and that work isn't done until the job is finished. You know what I'm talking about? How many have ever been at work and your fellow workers or employees just kind of leave you hanging because it's time to go home and you're like, the work's not done. We still got work to do. You understand what I'm saying? And my parents would often hang encouraging notes in the bathroom or by the door when we would leave for school. One of them I remember said, If you believe and have faith, God will do half the work, .. the second half. Meaning that hard work, belief, and faith in God would be blessed, and He would reward you with what you were working towards. And I actually believe that that's all good stuff. I even think it helped shape us kids into adults who could provide for our own families and even help in providing for my parents when the time came and continues to come. It was the name your dreams, shoot after them with hard work and belief, set stepping stone goals to accomplish them, put dates on it, and watch God bless your efforts kind of thing. After all, those who fail to plan are just planning to fail, right? And to this day, I'm thankful for those ideals being taught to me. But it also was kind of the source of my angst when it came to this verse as I first read it. It just seemed to put a little bit of damper on what I was taught. I mean, if man's plans are always trumped by or sidetracked by a providential sovereign God who acts as a puppet master in the sky, what's the point of making plans and setting goals to achieve them? If we are just pawns on His chessboard, why would anything I plan even matter? And because this is the last Sunday of the year, I thought this would be a good verse to dive into and go a little deeper. People make a lot of plans at the beginning of the year. They plan out calendars, vacations. They make plans about their diets, their exercise, their devotional time that they spend with Jesus every day. They set financial goals and make plans in reference to paying debt off. They even make plans in reference to relationships that have gone south and how they can reconcile those relationships. So it's kind of a great time of year to dive into this verse and come to a place where we can understand it more fully. And that's what we're going to do today. So Proverbs 16:9 again, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What is it saying? What did King Solomon, with all of his wisdom, what was he telling us here as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this down? Well, let's look at the first part of that verse. A man's heart plans his way. One of the best ways to know and understand Scripture and to really interpret it is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. It's very important. Turn to your neighbor and say, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. And the reason that's a good idea is because the Bible never contradicts itself. Ever. If you find something that looks like a contradiction, you got to go deeper because it's not a contradiction. We start with that the Scriptures are inspired, they're perfect, they're right on the money. There's no error in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit made sure of that. The Scripture is absolutely true. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Do you? The Scriptures are true. If it says it, I'll do it. How many things in Scripture are there that you don't do? If the Scripture says it, we do it because it's absolute truth. It's from God. It's life's handbook to us from Him. In fact, you could say that Jesus, because this is scriptural, Jesus is the Word of God personified. If the Word of God, if the Bible was a person, it would be Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So we know that the Word of God is true. It's absolute truth. And it never contradicts itself. So whether planning is encouraged or discouraged in this scripture, we should see that concept either way in other verses. And to make sure that we are comparing apples to apples when it comes to the original language and meaning, let's look at the Hebrew here. The Hebrew word translated plans, a man's heart plans his way. The original Hebrew word, it's translated plans, is taken from the root word. Oh, I'm gonna mess this up. It's a Hebrew word. You won't even remember it after I say it, but chashav, chashav. And it carries the idea of thinking carefully, calculating, and giving thought to a course of action. That seems pretty good, doesn't it? Thinking carefully. How many believe God would want you to think carefully? How many believe God would want you to calculate what you're doing and the decisions you're going to make and think about it? Or giving thought to a course of action. That's what plans means there. The same root word is used in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Again, at first glance, both of these verses in Proverbs, they seem to give like a little bit of a negative connotation to human planning. People make plans, but the Lord is the one who directs their steps. Many are the plans within people's minds, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. That's what was bothering me. It created this tension. Reading those verses created this tension between two ideals, a tension between two theological viewpoints. And these views were starting to collide in my mind the more I thought about them. Should we plan at all or just live with a strong faith that God will do everything for us? As He chooses. Should we lean into and trust the sovereignty of God at work in our lives, or is there an element of human responsibility to it? And these are really important questions, church. Your answer to them will determine how you view your purpose in this life. You know, we say things like, well, God is in control. I believe He is. Do you believe He is? But what are we saying when we say that? Are we saying that we are just existing down here in this planet completely controlled by God? If that is what we believe, it brings up a whole lot of other questions, right? For instance, if God is in total control, then why do bad things happen to good people? You ever think about stuff like that? If God has given us control, given us control by giving us free will, why would he do that? I mean, if he knows all, which he does, then he would also know how destructive our choices can and would be. These are tensions that exist in these questions, and there's some cause and effect in our lives when we answer these questions and live according to what our answer is. Look at this verse, which also uses the word plans, taken from the same Hebrew word as the other verses. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. This verse definitely puts more of a positive light on planning. It says planning leads to abundance. So is our planning a good thing or is it a bad thing? Are we supposed to plan or are we not to? Are we supposed to make our plans or are we supposed to just trust in the sovereignty of God and just hope that everything works out because he's in control? Do you see that tension? Do you feel it? Do you understand it? Sometimes I don't think we think about these things, but they do affect how we view God, how we view our lives, how we view our purposes. Notice that the two verses we talked about prior to this one, they never say planning is bad. It just says that the plans of people are a real thing. The first one, Proverbs 16:9 says, people's hearts plan their way. People's hearts plan their way. And the next verse we went over, which was Proverbs 19:21, says, many are the plans in people's minds. Neither of these verses say planning is bad. It's just when we see the word but, because they each say that plans happen, people have plans, many are the plans in people's minds, but then there's this but right there. And when we see that word, we tend to think negatively about planning, as if the word means versus, or if it means like it's putting it up against one another, like the two ideas are put up against each other. Kind of as if the Lord is saying, man will make his plans, but I direct his steps. Or, don't make plans, I'm the one who's in charge. That's not what he's saying at all here. It's not what he's saying at all. The tension isn't, and get this, hear this, church, isn't planning versus faith alone. It's not our human responsibility versus God's sovereignty. We should understand the tension as a matter of control versus surrender. That's really where the truth lies in this verse. See, the control has been given to us, and we need to surrender that control back to him, even in our planning. I've met Christians who believe that making plans, setting goals, and dreaming is somehow foolish because God is so in charge of everything we do and every outcome we experience. He is sovereign and everything that happens is providential. Yeah, I believe in the providence of God and I believe he's sovereign, but I don't really land in that camp right there. And I've met Christians who are on the opposite of this. They believe that he is pretty much hands off. So you have to make your plans and work them diligently to be successful. If it's to be, it's up to me kind of thing, right? And I don't want to, I'm not really in that camp either. So what camp are you in? Is it a versus? One versus the other? I mean, I don't want to pull out Forrest Gump this morning, but this is a lot like something he said in the movie. I don't know if it's Mama or if it's Lieutenant Dan who was right. I don't know if we each have a destiny or if we're all just floating around accidental-like on a breeze. But I think maybe it's both. I think that sounded more like Bill Clinton than it did like Forrest Gump. I mean, that's an interesting quote. Could it be both? Could it be both? I believe that Proverbs 16:9 suggests that the answer between making plans versus merely having faith is the same answer that Forrest Gump came to. It's both. We plan our way, but the Lord directs our steps. We're supposed to plan our way, and the Lord will direct our steps. He has given us free will to control the course of our life, but we can give that control back to Him, not by refusing to plan, but by including Him in on those plans. God is absolutely sovereign, but we have also absolutely been given free will. It's both. Scripture affirms planning. It doesn't rebuke it. I mean, all you planners, all you melancholies, all you detail people, perfectionists, would you just give me an amen? God affirms planning. And we just read three verses. A person's heart plans their way. Many are the plans in a person's mind. The plans of the diligent person lead to abundance. We plan, God directs. Not we plan, God cancels our plans because they're sourced in human wisdom, and that makes it pointless. Let's look at the Hebrew word that is translated directs in our Proverbs 16:9 verse. It's the word kun, spelled K-U-N, kun, which means to establish, to make firm, to set in place. It's the word directs. That's what that word means. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs. He establishes, he makes firm, and he sets into place his steps. I love that. You know why? Because I don't always trust myself in my plans. I make them, I set goals, I go after them, but I give them to the Lord. I can give them, I don't always do it, but when I do, I can always know that He's going to establish and set my plans into place. He's going to direct my steps and make sure that I don't mess up. And even if I do, it's okay because He's got my back on that. We sketch the route, but God firmly sets our steps in place. This life, church, hear me, is a partnership with God. It's a partnership that's rooted in our relationship with Him. He chooses to partner with us. He gives us free will, but He maintains His sovereignty at the same time. What an awesome thing. The deeper the relationship, the more intimate we will know Him. The more intimately we know him, the more he can trust us. And by the way, there's no limit to how deep our relationship can go with him. It can always go deeper. So there's your first 2026 resolution to go deeper into the things of God. There's not one person who's listening to this right now that can say, "Well, I'm pretty deep already into Jesus. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if there's any further growth I can have." There's no limit. Amen? There's no end to how deep you can grow in Him and how deep that relationship can be. Another verse that is along the same line is found in Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Understand, He doesn't just give you any desire you have in your heart. I mean, Lord of mercy, that would be catastrophic to us, wouldn't it? Can you imagine some of those wicked desires that we have from time to time? I wish I could just pinch that person's head off. And God goes, "There's your desire, boom." I mean, it would be bad. This verse, as we've taught before, when you delight yourself in Him, the desires of your heart will line up with His desires, and He will give you those desires. Again, it's all based on the relationship that we have with Him. Proverbs 16:9, it really serves as an awesome example of God's desire to partner with us. A man's heart plans his way, but God's got you, baby. He will direct your steps. And notice that it says, a man's heart plans his way. A person's heart plans their way. What does that mean? The word heart is translated from the Hebrew word lev, meaning the inner person. You see, we're a triune being, aren't we? We're body, we're soul, we're spirit, we're three parts. And the word heart here is referring to the soul. It's that part of us that makes us who we are. When our soul is being controlled, by our Spirit, the plans that come forth will be in line with God's plans. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to talk slow so you can really get it. When our soul is being controlled, our mind, will, and our emotions is being controlled by our Spirit, which is that part of us that connects with God. When it's being controlled, when our soul is being controlled by our Spirit, the plans that come forth, the plans that we make, they'll be in line with God's plans. But if our soul is dominated by our flesh, our body, our fleshly things that we want to, you know, our fleshly desires, if it's dominated by that, then the plans that come forth will be worldly, and you'll find yourself working against God. If you want to make sure your spirit is in control and not your flesh, how do you do that? You feed your spirit more than you feed your flesh. You know, it's really interesting. We laugh about it, we talk about it, but we feed our flesh during Thanksgiving, not just food. I'm not just talking food, but just as an example, we feed ourselves quite a bit at Thanksgiving time. Then we just came out of a candy season of October. So we give ourselves all this candy in October, and adults, you know, we're all eating our kids' candy so our kids don't get unhealthy, right? We want to clean it up for them. We don't want them to have too much sugar, so we eat it. And then we go right into Thanksgiving where we put on the feed bag again and we eat all these carbs. I mean, Thanksgiving is carb holiday, right? We just carb ourselves. I mean, and it's good, right? All the breads, the cake, or the pies, the mashed potatoes and gravy, It's all good. And then we go right into, let's start baking for Christmas. We got Christmas cookies and sweets and then more food. I mean, we just feed our flesh. And not just food. We feed our flesh for like 3 months straight, and everybody gets sick by New Year's, and we wonder why. Kills our immune systems. When you feed your flesh over and over and over, that's what will control your soul. When you give your flesh what it wants all the time, be it whatever, fill in the blank. When you give your flesh what it wants, you give into it. That's what will take control of your mind, will, and emotions. But if you feed your spirit, that's what will take control of your mind, will, and emotions. It's like the old adage, there's two dogs, right? And which one's going to win the fight? The one you feed the most. It's the one you feed the most. So instead of gluttonizing our flesh, we should be gluttonizing our spirit with spiritual food and all those things that feed our spirit. What does feed our spirit? It's practicing the Christian disciplines we talk about constantly around here that feed our spirit and connect us to God in a continual deepening relationship. Reading His Word. We just talked about His Word a little bit. Reading His Word. Do you love His Word? Do you love His Word to where you can't exist without it? It's like oxygen to you. Everything in this world is tainted except for the Word of God. The Word of God will last forever. Everything else is temporal. The Word of God. And I know I talk about this a lot, we say it a lot, and it's almost cliche. We got to get into the Word. But we've got to get into the Word. I cannot change you with any kind of advice, with any kind of preaching. Counselors can't really change you completely, can't really do a whole lot if you aren't in the Word. If you're in the Word and willing to change, they're wonderful, and those are wonderful things. But you have got to let the Word of God change you. And you're not going to change and you're not going to adjust those things in your life that need adjusting without the Word of God. It just won't happen. Pastor Jared said a little bit ago, trying. You got to stop trying and fill yourself with the Word of God and see what flows out of you. It's the Word of God that changes you. It's the Word of God that will set you free because it is truth. You want to be set free? I'm not against people taking medication. I'm not against counselors. I'm not at all. But if you want to really be set free, it's the truth that sets you free. Those things should lead you to the Word of God. Those things should take you to a place where you can take in the Word of God and understand it and study it and meditate on it day and night. Reading the Word, rereading it, thinking about one scripture, like kind of like we are this morning. Meditating on it and say, God, show me the truth. Squeeze this scripture and let me get all the good stuff out of it. That's more than just, I read my chapter today, check the box. I'm a good Christian. It's letting the Word absolutely get way deep down inside you to where that's the only thing that really comes out. The Word of God. Plan. Make your plans, people. But make them according to His Word. Make your plans based on biblical principles and obedience to His Word. God doesn't condemn planning. He just doesn't want to be replaced by it. Hear what I'm saying? So plan, strategize, carefully calculate. Give thought to every course of action in your life within the relationship you have with Him. Do that all within your relationship that you have with Him. And starting with the Holy Scriptures is an excellent place to begin. An excellent place. I mean, let's go ahead and just make plans without ever reading. Let's say someone made plans and they never read the Word of God. And maybe, can you imagine that some of their plans would actually contradict what the Word of God would want them to do? I think there's many Christians who make all sorts of plans, and it's contradictory to what God would have them do. And as Pentecostals sometimes, we even put emphasis on, well, I heard from God in my prayer time that I'm supposed to do this. Let me tell you something. If that contradicts with the Word of God, you didn't hear from God. He will never contradict His Word. Just won't. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And let's not forget about communication in reference to feeding our spirit man. Simply put, that communication with God it's prayer. Prayer. Everybody say, prayer. Say it big, prayer. Prayer. Yeah, some of you went, prayer. I didn't tell you to do that. Just prayer. It's important. It should be a big part of our life. Planning without prayer leads to pride. Prayer without planning leads to passivity. But planning submitted to God in prayer leads to fulfilled potential and realized purpose. I believe that. Don't underestimate the power of singing and praising during worship time in our church with music. God gave us music, and it's a powerful weapon in our arsenal. And I bring it up because really, praise and worship is a high form of prayer. We are communicating our feelings and emotions to God when we sing praises and worship Him with music and song. And sometimes we need that music to just kind of break down those walls, right? It opens our hearts to Him. It plows the hard soil of our hearts. It connects us emotionally with God, and it draws us into intimacy with Him. I've often said, sometimes when we're worshiping in here, and there's something special about corporate worship, but you can worship at home, you can worship in the car, just keep your eyes open if you're driving. You can worship all these different places. You can have a life of worship and praise, singing, even to music. You can just be listening. How many have ever been in the car listening to some worship or praise music, and you're just emotionally overcome by His goodness? Why do you think God gave us music? It's to connect with Him emotionally, because that relationship that He wants to have with us is so important to Him. And it's just another avenue of prayer. It's communicating with God. Communicating with God seems like a no-brainer as we make our plans. But how often do we get sidetracked by the plans we make outside of our relationship with Him? Prayerless planning is probably the ultimate act of pride. It says that we really don't need Him. And God wants us to dream big. He wants you to dream big for your own life. He wants you to do your best, to set goals and shoot for them and work hard towards them. He wants you to be a proactive thinker, a strategizer, and a planner. Man shall make his plans. People will make their plans. And when you are making those plans within that relationship with Him, and you do all these things inside of the relationship that you have with Him, He partners with you. And no matter how you slice or dice it, you plus Jesus equals victory. Amen. What I'm giving you this morning is a fail-proof plan for 2026. Make your plans with the relationship you have with God. Let them flow out of that relationship, and He will direct your steps. He will establish those steps, and He will set them firmly into place. Make your strategic plans as to how you're going to get your finances in order in 2026. Can I just tell you something? When you live debt-free, there's a lot of freedom. Freedom to give. Freedom to, God says, give this. I can do that in debt. You know what? It's massively different when you're debt-free. Take it from somebody who's lived on both sides of that fence. When you're debt-free, it's amazing how you just feel the freedom. When you don't live with outside of your means, but you live within them. So make strategic plans of how you're going to get your finances in order for 2026 if you need to. But make those plans inside of the relationship you have with Christ. Carefully calculate how you're going to shift your schedule even, so that you can spend time alone with God, if that's a goal you want to have. I want to do better in my devotion life. I want to spend time with Him every day. I want to have a better prayer life. I want to get into the Word more. All those things that in your devotion life, calculate how you're going to do that. How are you going to put that aspect of your life into your life and not just give Him leftovers? He doesn't want your leftovers. I mean, He'll take them, but He really wants you. Getting healthy, make plans for it. How many know it's a good thing to be healthy? Can I make a crazy statement? I think there's more opportunities for you as a human being to do things for Jesus when you're healthy. Well, I can pray from my bed. Yes, you can. But you're limited. When you're healthy, you can do more for Jesus. I think we even have a responsibility to live healthy. And I don't always do that. We have a responsibility. Make plans for it. Give thought to a course of action to eat right, exercise, and get enough sleep. To get enough sleep. To get enough sleep. To get enough sleep. I'm just trying to get that in my brain because I never do. Make your plans out of a heart that's full of Him and motivated by eternal reasons and not just your personal vanity. You know, I'm going to get healthy so I can look good on social media. Dumb reason. Get healthy so God can use you even more than He's already using you. Make plans for restoring broken relationships as well as building on the ones that are already strong. Strategize about it. Think about your course of action. Carefully think about it. That's what the word plans means. Or making plans, that's what it means. Strategize how you're going to overcome the addictions in your life if you have some. And again, let your relationship with Christ be the source of your planning. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." I'm going to go back to that in just a second. Whatever your resolutions are this year, make plans, because the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. We read that scripture as well. As long as those plans flow from your relationship with Him, when your plans are rooted in Him, He directs your steps. What an awesome thing. And I just read 37:23. I'll read it again. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when He delights in His way. Psalms 37:23. When God delights in our ways, and that's what that scripture says, when God delights in our way. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when God delights in our ways. When God delights in our ways because we are making our plans and setting our goals and dreaming our dreams within the relationship that we have with Him, they're actually flowing out of that relationship. that we have with him, then he delights in our ways, and our steps are ordered by the Lord. It's a fail-proof plan. If my steps are ordered by the Lord, how can I fail? If your steps are ordered by the Lord, how can you fail? It's a fail-proof plan. So my challenge to you today is this. Commit to God during this next year that he gets to be the chairman of the boardroom of your life. He gets to set the agenda and lead the meeting and steer the meeting. We get to work in partnership with him and not only make our plans, but we get to put our faith in him to help us see those plans through. We get to do both. And that might be just a little bit better way to approach change instead of, I'm going to try to adjust my behavior this year. We just really, really dive into that relationship that we have with him and let it all flow out of that relationship. I think about people who struggled and struggled and struggled with alcohol. My buddy Dave here, he's in the way past struggled with alcohol. Was it 20 years ago you walked into this church drunk? God has set him free completely from alcohol. And you know what happened? It wasn't that, well, I'm going to try not to drink anymore. I'm going to try not to do what I shouldn't be doing. It wasn't that, was it, Dave? It was a loving relationship that he developed with God, and then all of a sudden the desires were gone. How long has it been since you took a drink or even thought about it? 20 years. It just dropped. I love that. That's how it works, folks. It's not our own efforts. It flows out of a deep relationship with him. I used to say as a youth pastor, I'm not going to preach. And parents would tell me, when are you going to, are you talking to the kids about the evils of drinking and, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll? Don't do that stuff, right? Are you preaching about those things? I'm like, nope. Never did talk about that stuff particularly or just as a subject, as the whole subject of a sermon. Fall in love with Jesus and those things aren't a problem. And I'm not trying to judge anybody or point the finger at anybody, but if you have some of those problems and you just struggled and struggled and struggled, let me just say it. I don't. You can not like me. There's plenty of people who don't like me. That's great. Whatever. I'm not here to be liked, am I? You don't have an addiction problem as much as you have a love relationship with God problem. Go deeper in your relationship with him. Make your plans to leave that stuff in your life behind, but do it within the relationship that you have with God. Let it flow out of that relationship. And I'm telling you, you'll look back 20 years from now and you'll be like, I don't even think about that stuff anymore. Maybe it's an anger issue. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's food addiction. It could be so many things. I can't even mention them all in here, but you know what struggles you have. This truth applies to it all, no matter what it is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are not a God that's far away from us, but you are the God that is with us. We just celebrated that at Christmas. The God that came down and became one of us so he could be with us. God, it screams that you want relationship with us. And Lord, everything, every success that we can have in you, God, it flows out of a real, personal, intimate relationship with you. God, we want 2026 to be like nothing we've ever seen in our lives before. We want to walk in your blessings and in the victory of all of your promises. So God, help us develop that love relationship with you. Help us pray without ceasing. Help us worship all the time. Help church and our fellowships within church, our friends and our relationships within church, the fellowship that we have. Lord, let that be just part of our everyday thinking, not just something we do on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Draw us close to you today, God. Change us from the inside out. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I give you 2026. I want to be clay in your hands. Mold me, make me into anything you want. Help me develop a more intimate and personal relationship with you. Give me a hunger for the word. And help me be like the psalmist who never wanted to leave your presence. Talking to you, communicating with you, and ultimately living for you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. And this year is going to be amazing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.